Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Well, stocks finished the week higher as the Fed and, yes, arguably, Treasury Secretary Yellen brings confidence to the banking crisis that we've been going through. The Dow was up 1.2% for the week, S&P up 1.4%, NASDAQ up 1.7%. The international index had a pretty strong week, up 3.3%, and the 10-year was flat, hovering at 3.38%. Oil creeped up a little bit, $69.20 a barrel, up 3.7%. Year-to-date, it's off almost 14%. And bonds had a pretty good week, up 0.7% or 3.6% for the year. The Fed was the big news this week as Chairman Powell testified in front of the Senate. And as thought, he raised interest rates, or they did, I should say, 25 basis points. We were talking about that last week, at least. That was what I expected, was a 25 basis point raise to bring it to 4.875%. And basically made no change to the dots. I'm still talking about the dots, but no change there. Projecting a 5.125% peak Fed funds rate. So is this more dovish than expected Fed a bullish game changer for the market going forward? Well, I don't think so, and here's why. The Fed hiked rates, yes, 25 basis points, but for the first time since the cycle began about a year ago, they signaled the end of rate hikes is near. Now, ordinarily, that's a pretty good thing for markets. However, the bigger issue right now for the market remains the same. From the start of this year in 2023, we've been talking about what will determine the next 10 to 15% up or down in the S&P 500. It's not whether the Fed hikes interest rates 25 basis points more, but instead whether we get a hard or a soft economic landing. So the Fed signaled and during their discussion that the end is likely near. They didn't guarantee it, but they said if the consumer price index, which is a measure of inflation, stays near 6% between right now and May, and the banking crisis continues, meaning that they start to contain it like they've been doing, don't be shocked if the Fed starts to hike rates some more, because as I've been saying since the beginning of all this started, the Fed will follow the data, and the regional banking crisis hasn't changed that fact. Second, the Fed's statement shouldn't be viewed as a material positive overall for stocks, and here's why. Because the Fed said that the regional bank crisis will put downward pressure on the economy and also inflation, by the way. Prior to this, the SVB and the SBNY situation, the Fed said tighter credit for households and businesses are going to weigh on hiring activity. So what they're saying essentially is this regional banking crisis is going to put pressure on the overall economy, and that's not a good thing. So the Fed had a difficult time sticking to it as this whole Silicon Valley Bank and the Signature Bank and now First Republic, as we've been sort of working through the last week and a half, the Fed's trying to balance that with an economic soft landing. Now that task has become more difficult because this regional banking stress is exactly what it is, and it's not political. Remember, the Fed's not political. They're not trying to take a side here or there. They don't get into politics, because imagine what that would do to the market. It wouldn't be healthy. So they try and stay neutral. They're Switzerland. They're staying out of it. I'm not going to get into Credit Suisse. Anyway, okay, so there we are. But the fact is that it might make the Fed stop in 2023, and that may or may not be a good thing. It's the equivalent of this right now. It's the equivalent of hoping your arm is broken as opposed to bruised so you can get heavier painkillers. Yeah, that might provide some immediate relief, but there's a much bigger problem that you're going to wake up to in a few days. So bottom line, the key issue for the markets right now in this 2023 has been, and it's going to remain, whether we get a soft landing or a hard landing, and the whole no landing phenomenon is looking less likely at this point in time. So stepping back from all this, this market reminds me a lot of the early 2000s. Remember, we had stresses emerging, growth was slowing, the Fed was cutting rates, but it was too late. And I hope I'm wrong and the Fed nails the soft landing. But overall, I'm going to remain cautious and conservative in positioning. Now, this past week, I heard a very large firm come out more growth-oriented. And so for tactical allocations, if you're defensive-minded, you might favor at this point overweighting defensive sectors and minimum volatility and longer-dated treasury maturities. I'll talk a little bit more about that in the show as we talk about income, which is important, obviously, for retirement. But I'm grounding my opinion right now in the economy. And right now, economic risks are building. And so if this economy is more resilient than expected, then these sectors should rally just a little less than, say, the cyclical sectors. And in this environment, I'd prefer to have a little bit more safety and a little less volatility and miss out on some of that excitement as the overall market bounces around, which is what I'm expecting. So remember, while defensive positions right now may be the place you are, I don't know. I mean, it's up to you, honestly. But this should be more favorable in the near term. And I would expect that as the market starts to straighten out, leadership will become more balanced, we'll call it, where it's where you would add some more growth. And as the banking crisis starts to ease and the economy moves from a downturn to a recovery, you may want to think about gravitating towards more economic growth sensitive parts of the market, like small cap, maybe even some more international. Market volatility will be likely, and I'm going to see more of that, I think, as the month starts to unfold here, particularly after a nice move higher, which we've seen in stocks since October. I mean, look at the market right now. So I continue to see the economy and markets undergoing what I'll call a gradual U-shaped bottom and then a recovery. And the right leg of that rebound will be emerging, I'd say, in the back half of this year. We're not even close to that yet, so we have another quarter to go. And overall, I expect this volatility, and if you're defensive, it's a place maybe you should be for the near term. And confidence, once it starts to rebuild in this regional banking sector, which it will, it's just going to take some time. I believe a mild economic downturn is the most likely scenario in the months ahead. But in my view, markets over the past 15 months have really reflected this sort of an outcome. So I see opportunities forming in both the stock and bond space in the months ahead and beyond the more recent defensive posturing as markets start to look past this economic downturn and towards a recovery. It's important to remember that markets do look forward. They may not wait until the Fed has officially pivoted lower or for the economic data to officially bottom before stocks and bonds start to price in the recovery. So investors can use any near-term volatility to rebalance, diversify, get into areas that should produce better than average returns, buy quality investments at better prices ahead of a potentially more sustainable rebound to come. Now, what does it mean as far as the S&P 500 right now? So we closed at 3971 yesterday, and so the next leg down would be 3808. So if we break 3808 on the downside, next stop for support is 3733. Now, what about the upside? We keep pushing into this 4,000 range. What's it going to take to pop out of that? Well, 4,048 is the number I have, and then you got resistance at 4180. So I hope that helps. Hope that helps you plan your portfolio and think about where you should be allocated right now.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.